Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, March 22nd, 2010. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. As you're listening to me today, you're probably hearing a voice that you may not be quite familiar with. That's because I've been a little bit under the weather, quite sick actually last week. I'm much better now, but I can't seem to get my voice quite back. I'm feeling so much better than I was last week. So if I sound a little scratchy and throaty, that's what it is, and I apologize for that. But I think I'm up for a full hour, and we have a fantastic show for you today. As small business owners, of course, we are always consumed with the idea of engaging our customers, communicating with them in ways that encourage not only them to communicate with each other, but also to ask us questions and give us opportunities to share more of what we can do, more of the products and services that we offer that enhance their lives. And on today's show, we've got someone who's going to offer a lot of really helpful suggestions to help us do that. His name is Ron Shaw. He is the author of Social Networking for Business, Choosing the Right Tools and Resources to Fit Your Needs. For those of you on Twitter, you can follow Ron on Twitter at twitter.com/Ron, R-A-W-N, which is how you spell his first name. And we're just excited to have him here today. Ron has a lot of experience in this area. He is a member of the Social Software Enablement Team at IBM. He specializes in helping employees across the global IBM organization to improve their productivity through social software. His job involves, and this is key, measuring and capturing how people successfully enhance their jobs through social computing and how teams and organizations gain business value through these practices. He was community program manager for 7 million members at IBM DeveloperWorks, a network, and he led the team to engage the community through a wide range of social and collaborative software. We don't have that many people to manage, but we know that Ron's got some tips and some experience that we can boil down to a small business level so we can use them. Ron, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry to hear about your cough here. Is this a change of weather?
I think that's probably what it is, although I have young children, and they had everything last week, and I think I just pick some of it up. I'm really on to this topic that you are such an expert in where social networking is concerned. So let's start, Ron, by let me just ask the question of, you know, social networking in general. I know you talk in your book about some of the differences between the different types of social interactions. What are they? Can you share a little bit by way of overview background?
Certainly. So my background certainly comes in the big company metaphor, but I was a single person company before that, and as a journalist. And prior to that, I had a small, I think 4 or 5 to 14 people company for about 5 or 6 years too. I lived through all of those things. Now, social software, the online mediums and communities have really blossomed over the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years. And so in the most recent past, things like Twitter have captured the imagination. You know, when you get movie stars using these things, you know it's reached the mass media and it's reached the popular mainstream ideas. But there are lots of different terms that we use for these kind of interactions. So social media is one example. And it means different things to different people. The original meaning was really the medium that you use, the way that you actually converse with other people, meaning essentially the tools and the mechanisms that you actually use to have conversations with individuals or groups of people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's become a little more towards the sense of marketing, and that really is social media marketing principles.
Okay. Your book talks about the difference between social media, social networking, and social computing.
Uh-huh. So social computing, on the other hand, has been called collaborative computing, different ways of saying that. It's everything from, sharing presentations and files, working together to brainstorm on a project, to communicating with people, chat, even things like Twitter. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the technical view of how these things work.
When we talk, Ron, about social media and social networking, do people generally use those terms interchangeably, and is that a proper way to contact it for small business owners?
They do use it interchangeably. I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with that. A social network is an idea that has existed since the dawn of time. You know, it's basically the people you know.
Right.
And really, that's what it means. The people you know, the people that you interact with regularly, not necessarily a vast network of people who are following you, but the ones you would remember, you know, your friends, your close friends, all the way down to your acquaintances, and then the people you run into occasionally on the street, but you still recognize them.
Okay.
Yeah, when we use that in the software sense, you know, in the online environment, it's really bloom to huge numbers in lots of cases, and that's not really necessary in many aspects.
Now, Ron, you know, I want to ask you this because this is something that I'm very curious about, and this is really going to be insightful, and I know it is, because you've had experience as a very small business owner and also working with a really large company. What are some of the consequences that you've seen? And I know social media, social networking is all still very new. But what are some of the consequences that you've seen, Ron, in companies, large or small, that have been slow to embrace some of these, you know, the social media, the social networking? And what are those companies doing to come up to speed so that they can fully participate and enjoy the benefits?
Well, I think that one of the things is the larger your brand is in the marketplace, the more you're affected by it, especially with consumer end products, people are using them, so you have a lot more people voicing opinions about some product that they may have used. So when you consider the millions of people that might use a car, for example, versus the one company and probably, you know, even with a substantial staff, you know, say 20, 30 people working on the marketing side, they're far outnumbered. So if there are, you know, if they don't like the idea, there's something wrong, they run into a problem, something of that sort, it just gets magnified on the external side much faster than, you know, what organizations have been able to handle traditionally. So one of the things that companies have sort of evolved into is, I would say a few years ago it was like, we were going to ignore this. Then the next step has been that, well, we can't ignore this, but let's just take a look. And then it's gone a little more to, okay, some incident happened, let's jump in there and try and save it. Mm-hmm. Now what companies are starting to realize is that you have to be there before, you know, any incidences occur. So you got to be talking to people, you got to have people who are interested. You know, you get both sides of the argument, whether it's good or bad. You know, start engaging people all around you, and that makes it a lot easier to start working with customers dissatisfied or even happy ones.
So are you saying that it really doesn't matter that much if you feel like you're sort of behind the curve? It doesn't really matter that much because as long as you're committed to reaching out to your target and to interacting with your customers, you know, learning about how the tools work is just going to make that easier and you're going to be able to use them effectively.
Yes, it's definitely a learning process. It's a matter of there's nothing wrong with saying that I don't entirely understand this yet. Okay, if you are forthcoming with your customers and the
Good.
People you're working with, they will understand. You know, it's new to everyone right now. There are companies which have an advantage. Says, okay, we have experts lined up here and there. But even that, you know, the depth of knowledge of this is still growing.
Right. Nobody can really say they have that much of a depth. I guess it's been not such a long time. But you know, so and have you found too, Ron? One of the things I've noticed is that when you reach out into your community and tell them, you know, I would like to create some ways for us to communicate more effectively, for you to meet other people and see how my products and services work, oftentimes they will reach back and actually help you.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and you want those people. You know, if they've come up to you and said, hey, you know, I can offer this. It might be something small from your mm-hmm. point of view, but
right.
that, you know, that's the first step to building a relationship with someone else.
Right, and I certainly find in the social, online social arenas that people are willing to help, and even customers who you know may not even have a business, they know how to work some of these tools. I see it when I'm on Facebook and other places. They're explaining to other people or the people they buy products from, here, let me just show you how to do this. It's really not that hard. And the next thing you know, they're off and running.
Yeah, and that's what we call social proof.
Mm-hmm.
It's a concept where there's an interesting video out there. If you go to YouTube, look for the dancing guy and leadership lessons.
Okay.
And it's an odd little video. It's basically a handy cam basic of a guy out at a park somewhere dancing. The crowd is all sitting around him. He's just dancing away, and this goes on. And it makes people feel like, okay, there's this kind of strange guy out there dancing by himself. But eventually, one person joins him, and they're also doing a kooky dance. They're dancing off in the corner there, and then people all around them are going, okay, maybe it's not that crazy, but those two guys are still kind of odd. And then three, four, five other people, and eventually you see this whole mob of people all realize, hey, it's not that nuts to go out and just dance.
I've seen that video. It is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Example. And, I have read, too, Ron, and I like your comment on this as well. I can't remember where this was, that part of the reason why social networking works is because people see other people doing things and they feel as though they really want to become involved. Maybe they'll feel like they might miss out if they're not involved in this particular conversation, or there's just something psychologically inside of us that wants to participate in that way with people around us.
Yeah, basically, if they see someone else doing something, that means it's okay to start talking about that. Perhaps they have some common issues, they have some common values that they consider relevant. If not, just look around, you'll probably find somebody else who is even closer to your values. And that makes people feel better about, hey, I can go out there and say something. I once had a 75-year-old customer was trying to use the internet, and he was basically forgetting every few steps. But once he found others, of his age group, they were starting to use the internet and starting to use the web, he was a lot more okay with it. He was not as afraid of using the system. And they made mistakes. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I think it's just so important to point that out, because I know, from some conversations before today's show, we have a lot of beginners, people who are brand new to social media, on the show today listening. And I think it's so important to sort of try and help people to embrace that notion of how people want to belong, because it's so hard to explain to a person that's new to social networking why it even works and why it's even worth my time. Why do I want to do that? It's just a bunch of people talking. How is that going to help my business? But when you think of it from this perspective, that you're bringing more people into your sphere, and they want to be there, and so whether you can explain it or not, it's a good thing, and we should take advantage of it.
And perfectly true. It's what we're starting to recognize, that people are committed at different levels, mm-hmm. with online systems. It's first of all, are they even comfortable with using a computer or getting online?
Right.
If they're not that yet, then they're not going to start talking to you yet.
Right.
This kind of moves along. I've described what in my book a commitment pyramid. Doing the minimum is they're just coming to the site, or
mm-hmm.
they're to you and listening to what you're saying. They might have started to follow you. Once they ask you a question, now that's a sign that they are interested in participating. And that first contact, if you watch sci-fi, that first contact means everything. It's whether they're going to get turned off or they're just going to listen some more.
So before we even get to that, and this is so good, I'm glad we're going to go through this pyramid, because that's the logical step from sort of the introduction. Ron, here's where I see a lot of people get stuck. They get stuck with, okay, I set up my Facebook page or I set up my blog, and I've been blogging, and I've been, doing status updates, and nobody is saying anything. And you just said when that first person comes, it's a really critical time. But what do we do about the, I call it like the dead zone. What do we do in the meantime when it's just us and maybe, you know, your brother, your sister, people who have to be there?
Right.
How do you maintain, you know, how do you kind of get the traction going, start the engine? Do you have any suggestions in that regard?
One thing that I think about this is it's lonely in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have the masses all loving you until you get to a certain point. But it's about being regular with your activity. So, for example, if you're going to put up a blog, you're going to put up a message, regularity. Pick a time. It could be once a month. It could be once a week. Whatever you think is appropriate for your audience. You know, in some audiences, like CEOs, they're not going to read it every week or every day. They might come to it once a month. Others, you know, you really want to talk to them every day or maybe even every hour if you're at a conference or an event. So do the regularity bit, even if, you know, this is, So this is basically defining something that you set in your calendar. Just first thing in the morning, maybe you'll come in and do that. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be detailed. Now, the second part of it is, what is the message?
We have to take a short break, but
sure.
I do want to come back and really probe you on that. You're talking about setting up systems and doing something on a regular basis, and I'd like to explore that with you when you come back. Why is that necessary? Why can't we just do it when we feel like it as a small business owner? Let's come back. We're going to be talking with Ron Shaw, author of Social Networking for Business. We're going to cover that topic and a whole lot more. We'll be right back. This is Indie Business Radio.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today talking with Ron Shaw, author of Social Networking for Business, Choosing the Right Tools and Resources to Fit Your Needs. And before we took our break, Ron was describing how important it is to be somewhat systematized about your outreach into your social communities. Ron, could you elaborate a bit more on why that's important?
So you need a discipline of regularity for some of those communications. And people sometimes think that this has to be a big, well-planned story. Not so. I mean, one of the successes of this entire system is Twitter, and you're limited to 140 characters. What can you possibly say in 140 characters that might be meaningful? So it really is that. It's about differentiating yourself from the millions of other users out there. And that comes from you. That comes from your personality. That comes from your ideas. That comes from where you want to go, your vision. And no one else can really create that for you. You can create collateral and things of that nature. You can create, well, this is kind of the benefits of using my product or whatnot. But that really doesn't say anything about why they should listen to you as a person. And that relationship is what really is at the heart of this entire social ecosystem, this and networking and building relationships.
So you're saying that in addition to sort of the discipline of regularity, which I think is such a great way to say that, you're also talking about the importance of injecting yourself as a human being into this whole thing, and not just as a conduit for information, but as a person that is wearing the face of your brand, sort of?
Yeah, you are your brand in this respect. You know, there's the concept of your personal brand, your personal eminence, digital eminence in all of this. Now, that is the larger idea of, you know, how many people come to you because of not just what you say, but your interpretation of that information. You may not know everything about the subject, but your interpretation, if you can make it interesting, if you can make it relevant, and, you know, if it hits home with people, that's what makes, you know, successes. And not everyone's a journalist. I never studied as a journalist. In fact, my background is computer science. I ended up doing that because of just by accident. It was like, well, I have an idea. Here's a project. And what comes out of that is just a basic story. You know, it's creating imagery around which would otherwise be very, you know, dull technical details.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, so we've got that discipline of regularity and injecting ourselves and making ourselves actually a part of it. Now, you talked about when we actually start reaching out. In my mind, Ron, by the way, I'm thinking about a Facebook fan page. This is a sort of a dynamic that many of our listeners are working with today. Blogging as well, but let's just think about Facebook because there's so many more people at Facebook than there are at our blogs. We have the fan page, and you talked earlier about the discipline of regularity and how it's lonely at first, but then you said when you start getting those first questions, it's a critical time. Why is that critical? How should we respond? And then what comes next? How do we move it along after that?
Okay, so it's particularly critical because that's the first signs of a relationship. That's basically whatever the question is. It could be completely off the wall. It could be very meaningful, insightful. That is someone reaching out to find out more about your vision, your ideas, whatever it is that you actually have. So how you handle it is really speaks a lot about your character. For example, it could be someone actually, you know, have got nothing useful to say about the product, they're actually hassling you. It's not productive to get into an argument about them. It's accepting some of those ideas and saying, well, okay, but maybe we have a difference of opinion.
Right. You don't have to respond to every little thing. And with Facebook, you can even delete them. Maybe we should talk about whether we should do that.
Okay. I actually don't think it's a bad idea unless, you know, they're infringing on some law or something of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
So things which are obviously completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if it's porn and spam and, you know, it doesn't relate to anything that you're doing, then, well, maybe that doesn't belong there at all. It's probably in your rights to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
If Facebook doesn't do it already.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some comfort in that. There is also the gray area that, you know, you don't quite know whether it belongs there or, you know, or it doesn't. That's
right.
Stuff that, you know, you touch on, perhaps not pay that much attention to, as in, you know, you don't spend an hour explaining your views and everything.
Right, right. So this is good. So we talk about the information requests that come in, and then you say the next thing that happens is, in that particular social environment, is called knowledge creation.
Mm-hmm. So it's not simply about your ideas. You know, that's one of the things that you want to put out there. Some of it is, if you think of tactics of what you're going to do with offering your services, your products, you want to create what we just generally call collateral. This is information. So that's you creating the knowledge. That's a lot of work. You know, if you're a one-person company, that just ends up you doing all the work. Part of it is that it doesn't have to be highly structured, well-produced information every single time. A discussion with someone else, even online, you know, a thread that you have in Facebook, well, that's also knowledge. Somewhere in there might be an interesting bit of information. So have the discussion with the person, and then when you find that gem or that interesting idea, pull that out separately.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, a tiny bit of knowledge at a time.
Okay. So So that knowledge creation is part of what generates, it creates that community. I mean, when you're all alone, like you said at the beginning, and, you know, it's really hard and lonely, as you said, but once that first question comes in, it's an opportunity to really build on that, and before you know it, if you have been there representing the brand, do you find that people begin to engage not only with you but also with each other, and it creates a place where people want to come back and invest some time and enjoy some time there?
Right, and that's the key, where people are engaging with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Engaging with mm-hmm. you, is again, is one thing. You know, that right. takes up your time.
Right.
That's a limited resource.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's not a limited resource on other people engaging, but now it's, you're kind of offloading some of that work. One of the things is that we've been talking about, you know, people waiting until someone engages you. Have events. Have something, some activity that people can, you know, you set a timeline or a deadline, I'm sorry, a certain time of day where you can actually have a conversation with someone.
Okay.
Or you're going to talk about some project. Or you're going to bring someone else, you know, exactly like a show. That's an event that people say, okay, I'll put that, maybe I'll remember and I'll attend. And even if it's just one person there, it doesn't matter. You know, it's someone else that you're going to talk to.
And two, you know, thinking again about Facebook, is if even if it is just one person, it's information and content that's there that other people will be able to see, even if they just happen to stumble across it.
Right. And
you know, Tom, this is a really interesting idea that, you know, and I'm wondering what our listeners think about this. We do have some people in the chat room. I'm really curious to know, because I've never thought of this before, but now that you're talking, you can invite people to your Facebook fan page, let's say, you know, Monday from 12 to 12:15. Let's talk about, I don't know what the topic would be. I mean, the only thing you'd have to do is refresh the page to make sure everybody could see what each other was saying, but that's not that big a hassle, right? And then you could, like, maybe have a prize or some sort of reward for those people for coming, and then you can blog about it and link to it.
So the event creates, you know, going back to the word, collateral, just create new knowledge that you can say, well, this was kind of the outcome of that call.
Right.
Or that event that we had, I met up with one person, or I met up with 30 people, met up with 500 people.
And yeah.
All the good and bad, you know, it's also like, whoa, 500 people, I don't know how to handle something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It creates not just the topic you're talking about, but the event itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, that's the start of momentum.
Right. Yeah. That's good, though. I mean, that's just, you know, it's all about being creative and using the tools that are available to us, many of which are free or very low cost. So that's something to think about. I'm wondering what our listeners think about that. We do have a question from the chat room, Ron. Glenda Hodge on Twitter, she wants to know, should you follow everyone or focus more on who is best to follow for your business? If you focus, how do you go about determining who those people are that are best to follow for your business?
So I don't follow everyone, just by example. I follow people who might be relevant to what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I do blocks. Ones which I think are obviously spam, which have no reason to, you know, want a conversation.
Right.
But the other part of it is that, you know, it's also conversation on their side. If you're looking at Twitter in particular, if they're not talking, you know, they have 500 followers and there's no conversation going on, well, maybe you don't want to talk to them.
Right.
Another common tactic is that, a common action, I should say, is well, let's say somebody sends you something, you know, you thank them, go ahead. If somebody retweets something, thank them, you know.
Right.
It's the start of building that relationship with that person.
Right, that is a nice thing to do. And it's an easy way to inject your personality. How easy is it for you to show everybody that you're a nice person? That's kind of where it starts to invite people in. We have one person in the chat room who says that she is familiar with a company, Pooka Pure and Simple, which is a bath and body products company that occasionally has a Facebook chat about a particular topic for an hour. So I would imagine that's just a really great and fun way to get people to come into your fold. And like you said, all the work's not on you all the time. It creates some interesting content. So we talked about creating that knowledge, and then you call the next step idea analysis, Ron. What exactly is that?
So these are basically, if you, in the book, what you're seeing there is arrows. And those arrows basically indicate where on that pyramid that these ideas start, you know, these concepts start appearing.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have people doing the minimum where they're engaging
right.
back and forth, that's when you can start doing some of that idea analysis. So the very basic thing is filtering. You know, what information is relevant to what you're talking, what is not. And it's not just you yourself filtering the information, but it also ask people, hey, is this a topic that is significant to you? You know, and if people respond yes, no, then perhaps that's how you go about, you know, shaping your message.
Right. Right. Okay, so this is really good because the next thing you say is marketing to the group. Okay, so here's where some of the rubber meets the road and you get to see a little bit of the payoff from a financial perspective. Can you move us from the knowledge creation idea analysis to marketing to the group, Ron?
Right. So now we're talking people are doing a little more than the minimum. They're actually participating in your activities more than one time. So the traditional idea is a return customer. You know, they're coming back to you. They want more than that. Now, only when you have those returning customers or someone who might return in a future time says, hey, this is interesting. Maybe I'll make it next time. That's when you can actually consider even marketing to them.
Okay.
You know,
okay. And I mean, inherent in some of this is marketing that happens by default. For example, if the company we mentioned before, if Pooka, Pure and Simple, if they have, you know, weekly chat or whatever where people come and talk for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, ultimately, someone's going to ask about your products and why you're doing this, if nothing else. And certainly, you can offer some of the things that you have to share as a perk for the people who come, or the people who get there first, or the people who stay there the longest, or whatever.
Right. So, I mean, that's some of the options. There is what can you do to get them to return the next time?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it in terms of people engagement, that's your opportunity to say, hey, you asked me a few questions. You know, certainly you were one of the top three people asking questions. How about we bring you back next time and you can mm-hmm. tell people about what you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So including people, I have found that people really want to be included more than we often think they do. A lot of times they're just, you know, all you have to do is ask and the participation generally happens. I have found on Facebook it's just such a friendly place. Well, not always, but most of the time, 9 times out of 10, particularly in the small business arena, because we just tend to like to support each other a lot, and Facebook has a lot of mechanisms that are built in that make that easy and fun to do. We're talking with Ron Shaw this afternoon. He is the author of Social Networking for Business, Choosing the Right Tools and Resources to Fit Your Needs. We're going to come back, and we're going to ask Ron a few more questions about his pyramid here that we're talking about in just a few minutes right after this break. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. This is our final segment coming up with Ron Shaw, author of Social Networking for Business. We've been talking with Ron about some great concepts that we can keep in mind when we're using social networking. And in particular, we've been talking about Facebook pages and how to generate activity and engagement there. And Ron and some people in the chat room here have had some great tips. I want to thank especially the Handmade Soap Coach for coming in and sharing us what Puka Pure and Simple is doing. So, Ron, let's talk about how we can transfer some of these principles to a blog.
Okay. So one of the things that when you're doing a blog, it seems, again, it's a one-sided thing where, your information is in there. Now, the most important part of the blog is actually the comments and the conversation back from other folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the blog, the content that you put in there is just to incite the rest of the discussion itself. So looking at that, some of it is like, okay, hey, I've read your comments here, you know, I've read your article here, and then this is what I thought. But, you know, let me take a look more at my blog.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, somebody else is essentially saying, hey, come on over here and discuss it over here as well. That's perfectly fine. In fact, what you're doing is now sort of spreading your message to other places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just happening in one location. You know, it doesn't always have to happen in your home, for example. Going to someone else's place and talking about your ideas is just as viable. Now, that comes back to, are you carrying your identity with you?
Okay.
You know, if you're posting anonymously over there, well, they won't know it's you, right?
Right.
So, and the same elsewhere, you know, it's basically your identity online is core to what you are offering.
Mm-hmm. It's like little breadcrumbs that you leave everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting that you say that, too. Let's explore this for just a second, because so many times we get hung up on, nobody's commenting at my blog, nobody's commenting at my blog. And what you're describing, if I can summarize it, if this is fair, is to kind of meet people where they are.
Right.
And not try to, you know, drag them over here. If they want to be on Facebook, maybe that's the place where you'll get most of your traction. Focus on there more. And don't be so hung up with, you know, my blog is a ghost town.
So, yeah, the conversation is, you know, it's not going to happen just on your blog.
Right.
Take it with you to where the people are. You know, that's okay. A fairly obvious thing. Go where the people are.
Okay.
Start having the discussion there. If you really want to bring them back to your blog and you have a lot more information about what you're saying, you know, a single comment might not be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Where you link back to, hey, here's the full message, longer than the one paragraph that I put over there. And that's really all it is. The conversations, wherever you have it, is just a starter.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a punchy message right there so that they would be interested in seeing a lot more detail about what you're doing. Now, here's the other problem. How many places do I need to go?
Yeah.
Right? How many places do I need to be? So, again, your identity is you. So wherever you go, you may need your identity to be there. But at the same time, if you have your identity spread across too many different sites, you know, people are getting little bits of you here and there. And if you have different aspects of yourself, you know, different personas or different information, then they're not getting the whole picture. Cross-connecting across all of them, that's one way. But the better way is just to kind of reduce, you know, to what is relevant for that area. So you don't need, you know, 10 different, you know, a blog here, a chat room there, a community there, you know, a Facebook page here. Just try and focus on a few areas and get that going.
Okay. So you're saying that, what are you saying? Are you saying that we shouldn't spread ourselves too thin or be confusing? Or do you mean don't have different social networking outlets? Or
if you have multiple network areas that you go to, different outlets and such, keep the message consistent, for example.
Okay. So you're not saying it. You were talking earlier about taking the little pieces of yourself to different places, so I wanted to make sure I understood. So are you just essentially saying that you got to balance it?
Yeah, I mean, having more areas simply means more work for you.
Right, okay.
You've got to go to those places where you can talk a little bit.
Right.
Your identity's seen, but the key idea is that do it just a little bit there and the effort in a few primary areas.
Okay. So in choosing those areas, I'm just, you know, thinking that Facebook probably makes a whole lot of sense for small businesses. And so how can we tie these areas together? Let's just say, you know, we're at Facebook, we have a fan page, we have a website with a blog, and we have a Twitter page. What are some of the things that, you suggest? I mean, I know you just said, you know, make your personality consistent, make your outreach consistent so you're not confusing people, right?
So one of the things that I do, for example, Facebook and Twitter, I use TweetDeck. And basically what it allows me to do is to post to multiple places in the same message. So the same message that I have, I can choose my Facebook account, my Twitter page, and my LinkedIn page, and actually multiple of those if you really want to. That same identical, you know, 100 characters, 140 character message goes to all of them.
Okay, right.
So it's simplifying the discussions that you have. Tying back and forth, you know, so basically if you're having that discussion on Twitter and you want the same discussion going on Facebook, that's kind of what you do there. It might get separated back and forth, but there are different reasons to have one or the other. So the fan pages on Facebook is you know, you would pick either so the fan pages on Facebook allow you to put a lot more information about yourself versus Twitter engagements, which is tends to be very limited.
Right.
Of course, the largest is your own website, your own blog.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can take those conversations to those places, right? If you do have, for example, someone mentioned earlier about someone who has periodic Facebook chat. Well, obviously you can tweet that chat while it's happening on Twitter so other people can come. And then you can also, I would imagine, I don't know if this person does this, but I would certainly consider creating content for the blog that reviews or summarizes or points out some of the highlights of the chat and acknowledges the people who made the most significant or the most consistent contributions by linking to them, linking to their Twitter page, or linking to their Facebook fan page.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of the classic things when it comes to marketing is simply, you know, here's the full-length article, here's the two-paragraph version, here's the one-line sentence.
Right.
And the one-line sentence is you put on Twitter.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and so often I guess we think sometimes, well, why would I write about it again? Everybody already knows it happened. But we can't make that assumption, right? Because everybody doesn't already know that it happened. And I think sometimes we just assume that, you know, well, I did that already, so why would I do it again? People don't want to see it again. And that's really, I'm finding that that's really not the case when it comes to social media.
Yeah, one of the things that you'll find in social media is that people have a lot of information to process. And it's just increasing. So it's not possible to read everything and participate in everything. You know, events come and go. There are lots of them. So one of the things that we're dealing with in large organizations is how do you handle this much information?
Right.
And the classic idea is that, you know, treat something like Twitter as a stream that you dip into every now and then. Don't sit in the Twitter stream all day long, right?
Right. No, we don't want to do that. definitely don't want to do that. Okay, so this is good. So we can think about it in terms of, as you just said, sort of moving along your pyramid. You start with zero, and you get a few people biting at the apple. You engage those people. You as you described it, and I love this terminology as well, to be disciplined, a discipline of regularity, so that, because people will forget about you, won't they? Because you're not there, out of sight, out of mind, right?
Exactly. You know, they have all that information to consume, right?
Right. And all the, yeah, and you know, it's interesting, too, when we talk about social media, because we all complain about all the information, and then what do? Every day we get up and go get more.
Right.
That's such a, I guess it's a wonderful thing for people who want to reach out to their customers. So, Ron, at the end of the day, where is all of this going? I mean, are we going to have to, is this something that's going to become more important for us to become involved in? Do we have to keep our ears to the ground for the newest social media thing that may be coming along so that we can, you know, is this something that a small business owner has to make a part of their learning and growing process just as they would in refining the products and services that they sell?
And I wholeheartedly agree with that. In fact, there are some things. It's not just the tools and the technology. It's about yourself that you learn. How much you can engage with people, how well can you actually define a message that people, they don't just read, but they actually believe in. It's not entirely about being extroverts.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about being, you know, open and sharing with folks, and that's a culture that's becoming increasingly more relevant, you know, becoming more important to your business itself, building relationships, even if it takes it, you know, one at a time.
So it's interesting, too, because people are actually expecting. It's like 10 years ago, I guess the question would be, where's your website? And now the question, it seems to me, is turning to something like, where can I go to connect with you more and the people who you do business with more, the people who like your products? Where are they? How can I meet them? Is that kind of what you mean, that the conversation is becoming more conversational, I guess?
Yeah, it's becoming more conversational. It's becoming more specific.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has their flavor, and basically you're an entire world full of flavors.
Right.
It's not that they won't necessarily like just one thing. You know,
right.
They'll like lots of different things. It's the idea of can you be that kind of flavor that they'll recognize and appreciate and come back for more.
Okay, so there's this big, huge smorgasbord, and they can get lots of things from lots of people. How can you become the person that they get this one discrete thing from?
Right, and you know, we've grown up in a world of mass marketing where you have to constantly get thousands of people listening to that one part. That's not really as significant as developing the relationships with a few specific people. Because once you start doing that, that's when it really starts growing. That's the heart of growing a brand, a product.
And that's the really good news for small business owners, right, is that we don't have to reach a billion, gazillion people all the time in order to capture that nugget that you're talking about.
Exactly.
That's good. Okay, so the good news is that once we do come up to speed on these different tools and we watch other people use them, and as we talked about earlier, people will help us, the good news is, Ron, that we can put this specificity in place and be that one or two things for specific people, and we can expand on that. So it becomes doesn't become a big, huge thing. It just becomes a small, organic growth process, just like the small business growth process is anyway.
Exactly.
I almost see it
as a business. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's good. I'm almost seeing it as you're describing it, as a sort of a collaborative thing. It's like a two-lane highway that's both going in the same direction. The business is growing. Your sales are increasing as your conversations and reaching out to people and influencing them increases using some of the tools we're talking about.
And that's how the diehard brands of today were created. You know, it starts off with those building that core relationship,
right,
and finding that values that people align with.
Right.
Building the imagery that people recognize and understand, they recognize and appreciate as part of your brand.
Good. Okay, this is great. So I would encourage you, if you have some questions about how to embrace some of the notions that Ron's been talking about, and in particular that pyramid, because I think that pyramid really is helpful, Ron, in helping people to kind of see from a psychological perspective how this whole thing works, from that lonely place at the beginning until you get to, you know, the part where you have your ideas being shared and you have opportunities to reach out and communicate and collaborate with people. So thank you for the information. And that's just one of the many nuggets in this book, Social Networking for Business, Choosing the Right Tools and Resources to Fit Your Needs. Of course, you can get it on Amazon. And Ron, where can we go to get more information about you?
I am most active on Twitter, so if you want to reach out to me, that's the place.
Okay, great. Wonderful, and this has been a wonderful time. And by the way, everyone, this book is full of information, but it's not that long. So it's not something that's overwhelming to read. I encourage you to take a look at it. You can go to indiebusinessradio.com. There's an Amazon link there, too, where you can purchase the book. I'm so excited to have had you on the show, Ron. Thank you so much, and you can follow Ron on Twitter at RAWN. Next week, everyone, March 29th, I have Melinda Emerson, author of Become Your Own Boss in 12 Months, a month-by-month guide to a business that works. She's going to share how to make it happen 1 month at a time right here next week on IndieBusinessRadio.com. I look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.